So again, welcome to our session. I'm Amy Liebman. I'm going to just introduce myself. I'm the Director of Environmental and Occupational Health at the Migrant Clinicians Network. I have spent my entire career working with immigrant populations from the U.S.-Mexico border to Maryland, and I've been with MCN now for 15 years. And so I've done all this work with immigrant workers, and just recently I'm having this opportunity to take this knowledge and expertise and work with dairy workers, and it's been a fascinating ride. So what I'd like to do today is just talk to you. Well, first of all, I have nothing to disclose when I'm working with immigrant workers. There's no money. So basically what I want to talk to you about today is some of the formative research that we did to begin addressing what's happening with immigrant workers in dairy, and part of our process was used to design three projects that are funded by the NIOSH Ag Center in Minnesota and Wisconsin. It's called UMASH, and we're partnering with the National Farm Medicine Center. So MCN and National Farm Medicine Center are using their joint expertise to do some of these projects. So Matt already pointed out this changing dairy industry, but what I want to really emphasize is that this dairy industry is changing because of immigrant workers, and so they're a huge piece to looking at dairy, and they're a huge piece to sort of what's supplying our milk supply, and they're a really important part of the workforce. So essentially what we did to begin looking at this population in dairy is we did a needs assessment, we did a literature review, we did focus groups with workers, we talked to agricultural extension agencies, we did a number of key informant interviews, we talked to farmers, clinicians, folks who had done training with immigrant workers, insurers and researchers, and we did a lot of observing on dairy farms. So this is basically just a really quick overview of what we knew from the literature of dairy workers in Wisconsin. We're looking at a really significant portion of the hired workforce, largely male workers, young, between 16 and 45 years old. They were from Mexico. The large majority did not speak English, and a limited formal education. And looking back at all the work that we've done with agricultural workers over the years, this didn't surprise us, but it was just interesting to note that they're very similar to demographically to crop workers in agriculture. They are not legally authorized to work in the U.S., estimated at 50%, but I bet you that's higher. And then they talked about having not only limited health and safety training, we can't find anything that talked about workers having health and safety training, but limited training on just how to do their job. They are milkers and pushers, and so I'm going to give you a little eye candy as we go through this with some wonderful photography from Earl Dodder that sort of displays some of these work tasks. But basically, this woman right here in this picture is what we would call a milker. Their pay is about $10 per hour, and they're largely working in the second and third shifts, and this is in comparison to the native population, which about 16% are working in those shifts. So mostly you have folks working the first shift that are not immigrant, and then the second and third shifts are tend to be largely immigrant. We don't have a lot of data on what the injuries look like. Colorado has a workers' compensation system that has data that we can look at, and what we've learned from that is that about a third of all dairy injuries are associated with the handling of livestock, and about 50% of those injuries are associated with the milking parlor and tasks related to milking the cows. So animal injuries are indeed more common, yet the machinery injuries tend to be more serious and deadly. So I want to talk about the focus groups that we did with workers. We did five worker focus groups with 37 workers, and we did it in a variety of settings and different types of makeup from men and women. So we did two focus groups that were off the farm and recruited by a restaurant owner in a town, so it was completely disassociated with the farm setting. We did a focus group in conjunction with permission from the farmer on the farm, and then we did two focus groups in which we had access to the workers via the farm, but the focus group was actually conducted off the farm. So we had a variety of settings in terms of what the relationship would be like with the farmer. Our participants, it was fairly similar to the literature, what you're finding. They're largely from Mexico. between 1 and 13 years working in dairy and 1 and 13 years being in the U.S. Their education was about an eighth grade education. Our group of folks that we were talking to were largely milkers. We did have some pushers, and I'll show you a picture of pushers in a moment. And one of the things that, this is just from focus groups, so we more study is obviously needed, but we're observing that there are perhaps a growing number of women entering this workplace, and they're less experienced both in terms of being an immigrant, so they've been here less time, and they perhaps have less time working in dairy, but that's something that needs some further research. So this is a picture of a pusher, and I'm sorry, the lighting's not great, so the photos aren't that great, but they're really pretty wonderful, but this is someone who's pushing the cows either into the parlor to be milked. So in our focus group, the themes that we were looking at, you know, what are their injury experiences, what's their experience in terms of reporting injuries, what's their perception of the risks and hazards, what's happening on the farm, you know, how is the farmer managing health and safety, what's their knowledge and understanding of workers' compensation, and then their training experience and preferences, and also what are the barriers that they feel they have to health and safety, and what are their motivators. And what we found from the focus groups is that injuries are indeed common. Like we did not go around and survey every single person in the focus group, but everyone was well aware of various injuries that either they experienced or their coworkers experienced, from broken bones to slips, trips, and falls, and to exposures to chemicals. So the handling of these injuries, we did ask about sort of what happened when a worker is injured on the farm, and there are really varying scenarios from very neglectful and even threatening behavior on part of the manager and owner to actually benevolent management and farmers who truly really cared for their workers. So here's a few quotes from the focus groups in terms of what it was like to think about reporting an injury. They tell us you can't stay if it occurred at work, and careful if you say it happened at work because you will lose your job. It's blackmail. I was on the farm, the cow kicked me, now I have this little bone break. The boss didn't want to pay me even a day. I had to go back to work early because I needed work. On my first farm, I had great bosses. Let's say if you hurt yourself, they'd say take 2 or 3 days off and you'll get half your pay. That's actually better than workers' comp. And then another one saying that boss was great. He took the guy to the hospital. What came out when we started talking about the reporting of injuries was that there was a lot of fear of job loss, a fear of loss of income. This employer is going to fire me and I need work. Reporting injuries causes other problems. I might lose my job. Or if there's an accident, one doesn't report it because of the same fear. They can fire you from your job for just reporting it, and the boss will send us packing. We didn't stay away from talking about immigration, but we did not enter our conversation talking about being an immigrant and documentation issues. We tried to focus on health and safety, but obviously talking to these groups of workers, you're going to hear about immigration. And immigration did come up as a theme throughout our focus groups, and also a theme in terms of reporting injuries. We don't report because they will threaten you with immigration. It's not that he threatens, it's that we've seen it done. Honestly, we are scared. That's why many illegals like us would rather keep quiet and figure out however we can. The truth is, it is the sad reality of us undocumented. They don't pay you for time lost, and you have to eat. You have family in Mexico. You have to keep working. The bills keep coming. So we also were curious about workers' compensation. In Wisconsin, if you employ 6 workers on your farm, you need to provide workers' compensation for your workers. This is something that's different for agricultural workers across the country, just like Matt was talking about different agricultural exceptionalisms for OSHA regulations. Ag workers are not required in many states to have the same type of workers' compensation insurance as other types of industries. So, not surprising, we did find that there was an overwhelming lack of understanding of what workers' compensation was. And we also found in talking to them that even the literal translation of workers' compensation, like compensación laboral, just doesn't work because it really meant like a bonus or payment for work. So we came up with a much longer term, as we talk about it in training, to help sort of both define workers' compensation as well as to translate it. So seguro de compensación por lesiones y enfermedades laborales. So it's much longer, but it's much more clearer. And then we also thought there were likely confusions about workers' compensation because there's a very different system in Mexico. And so basically our point was that if we want to do worker health and safety training, we're going to need to really sort of help folks understand the systems that are there to protect them. Some of our other findings were that from our workers that we talked to, they really did not have health and safety training. At the same time, they were very interested in health and safety training. And one of just the discomfort of doing focus groups, because basically you're getting information from random groups of workers to learn, it doesn't always mean that you're going to be going out there and providing them with service in return. And so in this focus group that was in the restaurant that was completely disassociated with farms, so we didn't even know what farms they worked at, I was like hearing these stories, and I just thought, well, maybe there's something that we could actually do off the farm. And so I was just really curious about, would you be willing to come in your off hours and learn about health and safety? And overwhelmingly, they were interested in having health and safety training. And not surprisingly, from some of the conversations that I've talked to you about earlier, there was absolutely no knowledge of what their rights were. Other findings that, you know, we weren't really after but came out really loudly and clearly in our conversation, immigration is a huge issue. And communication, and they talked a lot about the need to improve communication between themselves and the owner, and also communication between shifts and between workers. And so when we actually, this came out throughout, and also came out in terms of asking them about what can be done to improve health and safety on the farm, and they really brought up this idea of, you know, we really need to talk to each other. Discrimination was an issue. I gave you a couple of examples of that, but there's also some hierarchy within the organization of work in terms of how other workers are treating each other. There's some potential gender issues, and I'm curious to see what will happen with the gender issues if the female labor force or the participation of women in this labor force increases. And also there were issues in terms of wages that they talked about, and also hours. There's a lot of shift work where there's working longer shifts, and also varying shifts that people talked about. So that's pretty much our findings from our focus groups. And I actually spoken less time. I have time for some questions if anyone has questions. In the swine industry? Matt, do you want to talk about the MRSA study that's going on?
The one of the things about dairy is that you're producing something from a cow that has to go to consumption. As a result, the use of antibiotics is prohibited within certain time periods so that the milk can't contain antibiotics. And generally speaking, I think the use of antibiotics to promote growth in dairy is probably a relatively uncommon thing. I don't think I've ever even heard of it. I mean, they'll use it to treat mastitis and they'll use it to treat infections, but I think it's an uncommon situation where they actually use it to promote growth because they're milking cows. Potentially in calves, they might. But oftentimes in dairy as such, the calves might be raised by an outside grower. So I have less contact with that than others. But it's clear that MRSA has been connected to cattle operations, and in Holland particularly, and in Germany, they've identified some MRSA commonalities between human and animal populations and their bovine, not porcine. Yeah, but I think it's a lot less of a problem in dairy. We have a project right now where we're looking at the microbiome of the populations that work in dairy and looking to see how much shared microbiome there is. Part of that, though, is based on the fact that we have a study going on where we're looking particularly at the immunologic advantages being raised around animals at a young age, potentially even the impact in utero, because the immunologic advantages of decreased asthma, decreased allergy, and decreased allergic skin diseases is pretty dramatic in farm populations versus non-farm populations. So we're looking at it from that perspective right now. At the same time, we will be examining MRSA. We'll be looking at some of the genotypes for bacterial resistance as well at the same time. When you say farm type, what are you referring to?
In terms of going from more traditional small scale dairy to larger industrial
dairy, I think those are different. We'll know a difference. It's not large enough that I know we'll be able to discern that. We're expecting 100 and 100 in a control group and a case group, or an exposed group and a control group. I'm not sure if we'll have the statistical power to look at that particular question. But we are certainly distinguishing between animal and non-animal farms. That's clearly one of the most important things to make the distinction, because that immunologic advantage probably doesn't come from non-animal farms. It probably comes from contact with animals. But I don't know if we'll be able to say size is a determinant. We will know how big the dairies are. It's part of our questionnaire, but we won't necessarily be able to analyze on that fine a figure. If the physiology of the hygiene hypothesis is as it's stated, I would say that that's less of a concern in my mind. I mean, I think it's being around animals and being populated by the same bacterial the same bacterial population that you get from routine contact with animals, big farm or small farm. I don't think it would necessarily make much difference in my mind.
Mary, did you have a question? That's a great question, and lucky or unlucky for dairy workers, they're not even eligible for an H-2A visa. But it is a predicament, and I think, you know, the question of immigration reform and the guest worker programs really do fit into the dairy conversation. And what Mary's talking about is the H-2A program, which does allow workers to come to the U.S. for a period of time. The employer has to provide housing, has to provide a job. The workers can't vote with their feet, basically. They can't move to another employer. There's a lot of problems with it, but there have been studies that are looking at actually some H-2A workers may be better off than non-H-2A workers. That said, it's problematic, and in the dairy industry, what we're actually observing is that dairy producers are actually coming out with what I see as a fairly radical statement from producers, in that they're actually interested in a visa program or supporting some type of visa program for multiple years, but would allow workers to move from employer to employer. And frankly, I think that's radical. I haven't seen crop growers talking about that kind of visa program. So. Yes. Because dairy work is basically 24/7, you know, every day of the year. It's not seasonal. So the H-2A is supposedly for a period of time, and it's part of the challenge of working in agriculture and sort of these literally silos, pardon the pun, of where we classify workers and even in terms of accessing health care. You know, if you're a migrant and seasonal farm worker, you can access health care through federally funded qualified health centers, but dairy workers don't fall into that definition. They can still get health care there, but it's challenges, and some of that dairy worker language is now changing, but the longer you stay in dairy, the less eligible you become for some of those services. Absolutely. I think that's something that needs further study for sure. And it's also not only is OSHA not out there, but the farmers not necessarily out there and seeing issues that are taking place. And communication. One of the things that I learned in dairy, because now I know more about dairy than I ever thought I'd ever know, is that there is an issue with fresh cows or new cows. They tend to be what the workers call them, you know, angry cows, a little bit more volatile. And it's really critical that there's communication about these types of cows. And a lot of veterinarians said, well, there's a whole system set up that they come in at a certain time, and workers always know. And workers at our focus group really had talked a lot about the need to know which cows were the fresh cows. And so as you sort of move through that shift, that communication gets weaker and weaker. That's our assumption, and that there's need for better communication. So there's lots of issues when OSHA's going to be there, when the farmer's going to be there, and how workers communicate with that. Any other questions? Yes. You know, it's something that stuck out in these focus groups, and as we're doing work on farms, it's something that's sticking out a little bit more. Through another project that we're doing, we did a training with workers, and there were women and men, there were babies in the room, and in chatting with some of them, it's like the men are coming first, they're getting established, they're bringing their wives, and then having kids. So that is, I think, a really important topic for further study, because it's part of the whole changing demographics and what we need to pay attention to. And both in crop agriculture and in dairy agriculture, we always say, oh, 80% men, and we focus on men. And I think that it's a really important growing, you know, part of the workforce that we need to pay attention to. And they're going to be less experienced immigrants and less experienced workers. One more. Well, there's a variety of chemicals, and you can join in. But all of the workers that are working in that sort of parlor, not that actually different on the rotary parlor, but there's use of an iodine type disinfectant for the teats, and then there's also there's a lot of cleaning that goes on. There is just manure, like. I don't know if you saw that in the pictures or got a feel for that, but there's manure everywhere. And so there's a lot of disinfectants that are used to clean. There's also a foot bath that the cows are walked through. It tends to be either a formaldehyde or copper sulfite solution that the cows walk through. So there's a variety of different moments where workers can actually interact with or be exposed to chemicals. And then there's also, you know, not as directly sort of like in the parlor type thing, but on some farms there's, you know, corn being grown, and there's different types of pesticides used there.
And then it's like